Good evening, good morning, dear congregation of McGregor, Manitoba, and anyone else listening in on this service. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Amen. It gives me great honor that I can pre-record this message beforehand for you. We are not living in normal times of life. We are experiencing amazing difficulties. We are not allowed to get together as congregations, and therefore we as ministerial feel it necessary to pre-record these messages. Please accept this service as a special service from your ministerial. We want to keep meeting your spiritual needs. Please know that you are appreciated and loved. We at McGregor Ministerial, we want to serve you for the time being via pre-recorded messages from your own congregation each Sunday, as long as this part of us not being able to gather is in place. Shall we bow for a prayer? Heavenly Father, this evening we thank you again that you're there. We thank you that we have your word, and we thank you that today we are still here alive and healthy, and that we are here in Manitoba, and that we still have each other even though we cannot get together as a church family, as in assembling ourselves together as a congregation is used to every Sunday morning. God, you have allowed this to be this way. And Lord God, I pray that you will help us, every one of us as a congregation, to accept this, to continue reading your word personally at home, and continue having devotion on our own, and continue encouraging each other when we meet in small groups, when we meet individually, one with another. And God, as we don't know what the government is all going to do yet and how small our groups are going to get, we pray that you will give us willing hearts to be obedient to those conditions. Lord God, we thank you that we in our congregation so far seemingly haven't got any of this virus and are not suffering, and therefore it gives us so many questions, and God, you have the answer to all those questions. Please bless this service, bless everyone that is listening, and guide and lead us with your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Many times in my life I have failed you, Lord. Temptations have thrown me to the ground. While I struggled in the sand, you were holding out your hand. Come to me, there is hope to be found. Lift me up when I fall, hear my plea when I call, as I stumble through this world of sin. Now I'm hurting to be praised, and our voices please will raise. Lift me up. Lift me up, dear Lord.
Many times in my life I have failed you,
The topic that I have chosen for this pre-recorded service is based on Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. These verses have meant to me a lot already in the last while, since I did a Bible study on these verses. And we find in verse 19 and the first part of verse 20, they read as follows: "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which entered into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus." From these verses, I'm learning that the anchor we have in Jesus. Jesus is our anchor, and by faith, we can hold onto this anchor. Jesus is the forerunner. Jesus has already gone to heaven. Jesus has gone to the cross and has paid for our sins. And Jesus has promised us that he will never leave us nor forsake us if we are his children. And Jesus also always invites us to come to him when we need rest, when we are weary and heavy laden. Matthew 11:28 says that when we are weary and heavy laden, we can come unto him and he will give us rest. Surely we all need rest in these times. At this time, we want to play a song first. Dear listener, let me say, it is very necessary to know and believe that God is real, and that the Bible is God's word, and it is true and right. In order to have faith on these verses, and have Jesus as our anchor, and to claim that he is our anchor, and that we have hope in it, and that we can trust in it, we have to believe that it says so in the Bible, that it is true, and that it is there for us to keep holding on to. Believing this, that the Bible is true and right, and that what God has said in it is very needed in these times of life. For if we don't know God and trust in his word, these words that I'll be sharing with you are based on it. We, in order to have Jesus as an anchor, we must have had an experience with him. We must have given him room to come and forgive us our sins. If we don't have the forgiveness of our sins, we cannot trust him and will lack the peace he offers us. I believe that these verses in Hebrews are written to so-called God's people, God's children. And by coming to Jesus and receiving the forgiveness of our sins, we are God's children. We can draw promises from God's word. Hebrews 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, they tell us that we have a cloud of witnesses. They speak of a cloud of witnesses. Let's read those verses in Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds." I believe that these verses mean a lot more than what we really believe, what we ever maybe have noticed. I believe that these verses speak of for people that having lived before us, when it says we are compassed with so great of a cloud of witnesses, and because of what we can learn from what other people previously have experienced, we then are encouraged from seeing that and learning that we should lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The race that is set before us, I'm taking from here, is our life here and right now. We are in this race. We have to complete this race. And in running this race, we are supposed to run it with patience. Prior to that, it says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. Laying aside means not practice. And laying aside means stop doing it. I'm thinking of this time that we are at, and with conversations with people that I'm having, and even thinking of myself, at times it seems like we start wondering, what does the future hold? What will be in a month from now? If every week is changing like it has been changing in the last few weeks, and if it will keep changing like it has in the last few weeks, what will be and where will we be then? One may say everything is going down and everything may and wants to and may lose its value. And by thinking about that, we may fear things that are not really true. And so that untruth, believing in something that may not be and never will be, is a sin. And therefore, I believe these verses speak so loud to us because it says, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us. But it also says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So, friends, let's run the race that is set before us with patience and in the fear of the Lord, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What we are enduring and maybe having to endure in the future is going to be nothing comparing to what Jesus endured. Jesus endured the cross. It says here he endured shame. And because he endured that, he is set at the right hand of God, which he is also promising us that he will come for us one day too and receive us to be with him there too. John 14 verses 1 and 2 say that. Believe in God and also believe in me. And that is where we need to hold on to. It also says in verse 3 here, for consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against him, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. It warns us of becoming wearied and faint in our minds. We are told and we are taught in Scripture that we are not supposed to worry, but trust God. So we can learn from these verses that if we worry about the future, our minds will become faint. And that is bad for us. We shouldn't do that. That is going to weaken us. My motive and my aim for this message is that we will decide today to stay strong, to hold on to the faith which we have already experienced. And friends, if you don't and haven't experienced this faith and know Jesus as your Savior and don't know that you're His child, that may be the reason why you are weary. Let me encourage you to come to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He will become the author and finisher of our very fate. He will start that fate in you, and he will also complete that fate in you. He will hold that fate to the very end of your life. He will be there all the time. Back to verse 1. Talks of laying aside means not practice the sin that we get into. Should I say, even when we don't want to. In these times, one could say, or one could easily start worrying and get anxious about all what is happening or may happen. When we are asked not to get too close to each other, when we are supposed to social distance with each other, or when we are told to stay at home, not even go to see shut-ins, when we are not allowed to go to care homes and visit people, or anyone else that is experiencing health problems. If we are not even encouraged to keep company, to invite somebody over, these situations may make us very anxious. Friends, we are tested. And our faith in God will also be tested in the time to come. Be encouraged. Hebrews 2, verse 2 of Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the one that began our faith and also will be there to the very end. Our Jesus is in heaven at God's right hand. Jesus sees and knows all things. He knows the outcome of this already. Verse 3 warns us again of becoming weary and faint in our minds. Wearied means exhausted in strength. Interesting how God's word already spoke of this. In the weeks to come, I believe our minds will be tested. So let's already be encouraged that God has everything in control and wants nothing more from us than keep holding onto him. Verse 1 of Hebrews 12 states, we have a cloud of witnesses, meaning others in history have gone through trials as well. We can be encouraged and learn from them. When they faced hard times, they went to God and believed what God said was sure, and they could trust in it. I believe that Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 and 3 and verse 1, where he says we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, points to one of these scripture verses, like Jeremiah 32 verse 28 to 29, where we read, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on the city and burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incenses unto Baal and poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. God says here in verse 29, at the end of verse 29, that they have provoked him to anger by sinning. We see here that God, these people here lost houses. They were going to be displaced. Let's remember this is a prophecy, but we also know that this really happened. They were led into the captivity of Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon. The people were there. The book of Daniel talks about it and shows us what they all experienced and how terrible it all was and how bad it was and how hard it was. And so let's learn from this as a cloud of witnesses that we are experiencing, what we are experiencing at this time so far is really nothing comparing to what the children of Israel were experiencing here, what Jeremiah is prophesying us. These people were displaced. These people had no houses. These people likely lost loved ones in the battles. And these cities were burned. These people endured terrible times. Friends, we aren't enduring a lot of bad times yet. Even though it's tough, it's hard on our mind, it's hard on our emotions, but we can still draw to it and we can still look to Jesus and say, He is our author, and He is the author and finisher of our faith. Friends, let me encourage us, you. Let us look at us where we can improve our walk with God. We can see here in verse 28 and 29, or actually in Jeremiah, if we would read from verse 26 to verse 35, all of these verses, when we read the what Jeremiah prophesied here, what would happen to these people, it must have been very heartbreaking. These people, they lost all of these things, and this really happened to them. So these people, in verse 36 and on, we can find that these people, when they turned back to God, and when they had understood God and prayed and changed their lives, God brought them back. All through the Bible, we see that God heard the prayers once they came back to Him and got in tune with Him. Then He answered the prayers and helped and healed their land. In the same chapter of Jeremiah 32, verses 36 to 42, these verses and many more are written. Let's see these verses in Jeremiah 32, 36 to 42. This is where hope is restored. This is the witness that Hebrews 12 is talking about. This is where we can draw hope from, that God will be there for us, and He was there for these people. And now therefore thus saith the Lord of God of Israel concerning this city, whereof ye say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all the countries whither I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury, and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, and that they may fear me forever, for the God of them, and for their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fears in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. I believe this is why we can draw comfort from this. This is why Hebrews chapter 12 says, we have so great a cloud of witnesses, because of what the Old Testament people have experienced. It must have been so very hard for them to experience that. Notice towards the end there, He said He would change their heart, and He would help them to change their heart. And then He would answer their prayers, and then He would heal their land. Today we hear a lot about being said, pray for and about this coronavirus. Pray that God will heal the people, the people that get sick. Somehow it seems like it has gotten to my attention, and I have heard and noticed that there is very little said about repentance. Repentance. Stop disobeying God. And we've seen that in Jeremiah there. They had to stop serving idols. Then He healed their land. Then He listened to them. We see God is taking care of His people. you that are listening may ask, what do you mean, taking care of his people? Today, in this time, in the New Testament time, anyone that has truly come to Jesus for the forgiveness of sin is his, God's child. And God says in Hebrews 13, verse 5, to those children, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. To those people that have trusted in Jesus, he's saying this. And also in verse 6, he says to those people that have trusted in Jesus, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We could say today, we will not fear what will happen, what will come about. The only fear and the only thing we want to do is fear God. We want to stay true to God and we want to keep trusting him and keep saying that he has promised us he will never leave us nor forsake us. Because of this, we can boldly, fearlessly say, the Lord is my helper, and we will not fear what will happen unto us. Let's remember, if we want God's help, it always comes with condition. Based on when he says, your sins keep me from hearing your prayers. We want God to hear our prayers, don't we? That also comes with a condition that if we want God to hear our prayers, we must obey the authorities that we have. Romans 13 teaches us and says that that we are, as his children, God's people, are supposed to obey the authorities. Yes, we are not allowed to assemble as groups over 50 people. Please bear in mind why that is. They want to reduce the spread of the sickness. Please obey it. We would not want to be responsible if someone would lose a loved one because we got together as church family. And so at times when I listen to people, and a week ago it was more so than now, some people seemingly seem to not care about it at all and were taught to be very careless and just think and believe that this is a conspiracy, that it is a controlled disease, and that if the government would want to, they could stop it just like this or like that. And I don't really want to really predict, but I want to say it this way. God allows this to be. I believe it is not necessarily that it is God's will that this disease is about us and this virus is about there, but it is there. People are dying from it, people are sick from it, and people are scared of it. Let's be sociable, but also let's keep our distance when we are supposed to, and let's respect people that want to have their distance. Let's give them their distance. Friends, my theme for this message is we have an anchor. Jesus is our refuge. That is based on Hebrews chapter 6. We find in Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 13 to the end of the chapter, the writer of Hebrews is explaining and is teaching the Hebrew people that God keeps his promises. That gives us assurance of that we can dwell on Jesus and we can hope in this and have the, hold on to this anchor with full assurance, and that we can find refuge in Jesus because of how the writer of Hebrews is explaining and is pointing it out, how God has kept his promise that he would send his son Jesus through the lineage of Abraham. And that is what he's speaking about in these verses prior to Hebrews 6 verses 18, 19 and 20. At this time I want to turn to Hebrews 6 verse 18, where it reads that by two immutable things which it was impossible for God to lie. There again, he says it was impossible for God to lie because he had made an oath, swore an oath, and he had swore upon two immutable things. And that immutable means that it is an everlasting and a thing forever. And who is forever but God? God has been forever and will be forever. And so God had swore an oath to himself and by himself, and he could not break it, and he did not break it, and he never will break it. And therefore it says, because of that, we have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So that is pointing to us, and again, like I said before, it is written to the children of God. It is written, today we would say it's written to Christians. And so the Christians have a strong consolation. And the word consolation means we have received comfort. We have experienced comfort. We have been consoled. When we were in distress, and when we were forlorn, and when we were in sin, and when we did not know where to go and couldn't go anywhere anymore, we realized that the only place we could go to was Jesus. And when we did that, when we truly did that in faith, he consoled us. He comforted us. He took us in his arms, and he forgave us, and he made it right with God for us. And then we found a refuge in him. That gave us a refuge where we can go to and are going to and have gone to over and over again. Not just once and not just did it, but now in this time we also need to go to him for a refuge, for a cover. I'm reminded of where Jesus says to the people, and he asked them a question when they refused to believe in him. And they said, then Jesus said in a parable, he said, how often would have I gathered you as a hen gathers her chicken under her wings, covering and hovering over them and protecting them. That is what I believe, and that's what I see, and that's what I look at when I think of the word refuge. We can come to Jesus and find protection from him. And that's what we need in this time of life now. Now especially we need to go to him for this refuge. And when we go to him for this refuge, that gives us hope for the future again. Then we have hope. We can look beyond this. Some people and someone has said, come what may. That is an amazing statement. Come what may. This virus that is about and may not come to us and may not come to this congregation, may not come to McGregor, Austin, Sydney or Gladstone, we don't know where it may come to and may not come to. But even if it comes, we have hope that God will carry us through. We have this hope. And in verse 19, it alludes to that hope, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. It is an anchor of the soul. So this hope we have in faith. We have this hope in faith. And so this hope which we have in faith in Jesus points to us as a life. And sometimes we say our life is like a ship on an ocean which is sailing, which has begun to sail, and some of us have sailed 50 years and some of us have sailed 70 years and some of us have sailed a week, some a few days. But the children of God, Christians, And us as members of this church, we have sailed for some time. Let's picture it this way, that we are sailing and we have sailed and we have come to this point in life, and right now in our life it seems like the ocean is very shaky and very stormy and we have huge waves coming at us, and it's shaking our faith and it's testing our faith. And so here in Hebrews chapter 12 it says we have a refuge which we can lay hold upon, and that gives us hope, which we have as an anchor of the soul. So let's look at it this way, that we have to use an anchor like a ship would do when it would come to the shore, and want to dock, as little experience as we have with big ships, but we can picture this, that if a ship would want to come to the to a harbor and have to enter a small channel, it has to wait out the storm. And so, congregation, friends, I believe we are waiting out a storm. And so that ship, it said in the research that I did, it said it has a big anchor. It's called a sheep anchor. It's the emergency anchor, the one anchor that they will only use when they are in this situation where they have to stop and wait out the storm. And that anchor is too heavy and too big for them to just drop it in the deep ocean where they have to rest out. So the captain has to send a smaller boat with that anchor closer to shore to a place where there is a solid foundation. And there that little boat has to drop that anchor. And then the big cable or the big rope between the ship and the anchor keeps the ship stable till the storm is going to last out. So we can draw from this. We can learn from this that our faith is that cable and that rope between the anchor and the ship. The anchor is holding fast, solid into the foundation of Jesus Christ, which we have done by faith, receiving the forgiveness of our sins. And now our faith is the cable between us and our life, our soul, our spiritual life, which God wants to keep sure and secure. And so our faith it has to be strong enough to endure and last till the storm will calm down. And then we will be able to move into the harbor. Then we will be able to come in. And it says here that Jesus is the forerunner. In verse 20, Jesus is the forerunner. He has entered in. Jesus has already gone before us. So it's because of Jesus we can have this hope, and because of Him we can come to the end of our life, and because of Him we can know that we will last this storm. We will last through this. Okay, and because of we have put our faith in Jesus, you may say, you may ask, well, how strong is your faith? And you may say, well, you're contradicting yourself, because you're saying our faith has to be so strong to hold ourselves stable in this storm. Yes, Paul knew this. And Paul also alluded to this in Philippians 4:13, where he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And so that's the attitude we have to keep. That's the attitude we have to have. We will come through this in Christ who strengthened us. In Christ who strengthens us. He has to bring us through this. He will bring us through this. Because like we say, like our text says in verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which has entered into the within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. And then it says there at the end of verse 20, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is a high priest for us forever. He is there. He is interceding. The scripture and Bible teaches us that God is interceding for us. Jesus is interceding for us at the right hand of God. And so when you don't know to pray, when you don't know what to do next, your faith in Jesus, your love for Jesus, causes Him to pray the prayer you should be praying. And so that gives us faith, that gives us hope again, that Jesus will bring us through all of this. May I just say, and you may ask the question, what do you think of all this coronavirus? What do you think about it? What do you believe about this? Is this a conspiracy? Is this sent from God? Is this something to worry about, something to fear about? And I have thought about this a lot. I really believe that it is not a conspiracy, but I also don't believe that it is necessarily sent from God, But God allows it to be. God allows it to be in the world. It is actually over the world. And so we may judge and we may say, if so-and-so and so-and-so and dot had not happened, then this wouldn't be there. But I don't really believe that it is up to us to try and figure that out. What is up to us is to stay faithful to God. Up to us it is to keep trusting in Him, keep repenting when He says and when He points things out to us, when we do soul searching, when He says, you have a problem here or there, then repent of it, come to Him, and pray to Him, and keep praying to Him for others. And what I really mostly and very strongly believe of is that we shouldn't judge other people. We shouldn't, and we don't want to, and I want to encourage you not to point to fingers and say, well, it's such and such country's fault, or it's such and such people's fault. That God knows, and that God will work with it, but God is going to be faithful to all people that will come to Him. Dear friends that are listening to this message, be encouraged. Have faith. Keep faith. Go to Psalms 23 and read, "The Lord is my shepherd." Go to Psalms 1 and read it. Go to Psalms 91 and read it. Find courage and be encouraged of it. Read the verses that we as pastors will be sending you via text. Read those verses. Pray for those verses. Pray for us that we will send you the right verses, that you will receive them during the week, and so that we will stay strong and encouraged. Please know that we as ministers are working for you, and we would like to serve you, and we are serving you. Please know that we can always go to Jesus, and that we have an anchor. Jesus is our refuge. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Shall we close in prayer? Dear God, this evening and this morning, whenever these people are listening to me, God, I pray that you will be with the very people, with the very individuals that have listened to this message. God, I know that it is so different pre-recording a message, and it's so different also to sit maybe in a kitchen or a living room somewhere and listen to a message. And it is so not very real seemingly, but Lord God, you can make and you can do amazing things through our feeble approaches, our feeble things that we try to do for people. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that you will bless this service. I pray that you will help that people can look to you, and that it will inspire people to maybe read more of Jeremiah or Isaiah, and maybe memorize Hebrews 6 verses 18, 19, and 20, that we have a refuge, we have a consolation, and we have a hope, and we have an anchor for our, through our hope and with our hope, and we have Jesus, our forerunner, who has walked before us. God, I pray that if somebody that is listening doesn't know you and isn't a child of you, I pray that he or she would find somebody that can introduce him or her to you, to this solid anchor, to this solid foundation. God, I pray your blessing on this. I pray your blessing on the whole church as we all together pray, as we all together support each other and do things for each other. Lord God, be with the shut-ins. Be with those that aren't allowed to have company. Be with those that would want to have company but don't receive company because we're all distancing ourselves. Lord God, I pray that you will just help that we can come through this strong. That we can come through this faithful. And that we can still believe in you when all is said and done. Lord, inspire Martin as he will do his message next Sunday. Inspire Larry as he will do his message on Easter Sunday. And Lord, inspire as we will have Good Friday message. Lord, I already pray that I can bring a true message, that we can really appreciate that you have gone to the cross for us. Lord, I pray that you will be with the baptismal candidates. I pray that you will be with the whole church, the whole Christianity. Lord, I pray that you will be with the country. Lord, as the leaders, country leaders are making so many decisions financially and offer assistance, may you bless that. May you help that they will do it in the right way, and that it will go to the right people, and that that they can do it in the right way. Lord, lead and guide us all through this whole. Be with the whole world, please, God. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you for listening to this message. And we will have a song at the end here now. And there's also going to be a song, and draw courage from the song that we have at the beginning of the song. God bless. And thank you for listening. Thank you. Now let's conclude with a benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen.